It's hard rains are gonna fall.
Bob Dylan there. You don't need any help with that. The United Nations has adopted one of his songs, A Hard Rain's Gonna Fall, as its unofficial anthem for the talks. But a lot of us seem to need help on cutting greenhouse gas emissions. You know, as the climate talks take off in Copenhagen, 192 countries there, cutting emissions from trucks and utilities and big factories is one thing, but it really is all about each of us in our homes and in our cars and how to cut emissions ourselves if the planet Earth is going to get anywhere with greenhouse gas emissions. So in short, why don't we do in our own lives what we know would help when it comes to the environment? Well, we have two guests here with us who have a good idea why, both of whom I think are headed to Copenhagen later this week. David Biello is associate online editor of Scientific American. He follows climate change very closely. And Ben Ho is a behavioral economist at Cornell University. Now, both of these gentlemen, as I said, think they have some insight into our behavior and why we don't
do the right thing.
Put our money where our mouth is, or put our money where the air is, Celeste.
That's right.
When it comes to the environment. David, you have outlined 33 simple actions that we can take in our own homes, in our own cars, I would assume, to help ease the stress on the environment that we all know would work, but that we don't do them. What are some of these and what's the problem?
Well, let me start by setting up the problem. Our homes are responsible for about 40% of U.S. emissions. That's almost half, obviously.
All right, so that means that we have a lever to do something
about
this ourselves.
We have a big lever.
Right?
And by taking some of those 33 steps, we could cut U.S. emissions by about 7%. That doesn't sound like a lot, but that's equal to the amount of emissions that come from petroleum refineries, aluminum smelters, and iron and steel works. So these are some pretty big combined,
yeah.
Exactly. So these are some pretty big emitters. Those actions include weatherizing your home. It doesn't sound very sexy, but adding a lot of more insulation will cut down on your energy bills. Power strips, again, not very sexy, but plugging in all your devices into power strips. Instead of into the wall directly, will cut down on your standby electricity use. Standby electricity use is responsible for about 200 plus pounds of carbon emissions from every American household every year.
Now, you're certain that these things will cut my costs, because you're saying this to me and I say, that's great, I'd love to do them, but I don't have the cash right now to run out and buy extra insulation at Home Depot. I have power strips, but I don't want to go out and buy another dozen of them, but it will lower my costs for sure.
It will ultimately lower your costs. Now, that's one of the barriers, right, that we're talking about, why people don't do these things. And it's because of flaws in designs of programs. So, for example, the federal government has a program to help you weatherize your house. Did you know that?
You just told me.
Yeah. I don't think too many people are aware of this program.
Right.
And it's because it's not well advertised. It's a lot of money. It's billions of dollars. And they're trying to help you put more insulation in your home. It's poorly designed because it's a tax credit. So you're going to have to spend a bunch of money up front, and then you're going to maybe get some of your money back at the end of the year when you file your taxes, if you remember to take the appropriate credit.
And file the papers. Ben Ho, you're a behavioralist at mm-hmm. Cornell University. Is what David's describing here, is this a problem of a proximal action and then benefit way down the line? Is that why people don't do these things? Or is it more that the environment is such a distant sort of force, it's not in their home, or at least they don't think that it is, that people don't want to do anything about it directly?
I think both problems are at play right here. One is, you know, like you said, it's a very distant benefit that we're thinking about. One is that what economists normally call the public goods problem, which is that when people share a resource in common and there's many people individually responsible for taking care of that resource, it's easy for us to sort of stand by and let somebody else do it. You know, psychologists call this the bystander effect. But the other issue is that even for things that help ourselves individually, things that will lower our electricity bill, people have a tendency to procrastinate, and research has shown that people are most likely to procrastinate when, you know, the costs are immediate and concrete, but the benefits are sort of abstract and in the future. And because benefits to in terms of electricity savings are sort of this abstract thing, and benefits to the environment are this abstract thing that happens far in the future, we just don't take action today.
Ben Ho, you are a behavioral economist at Cornell University. This kind of thing that you're talking about is something that we in public radio deal with all the time.
Yes.
I mean, it is true that because there's a ton of people that listen to public radio, it's very difficult to get people to step up to the plate and donate. But the thing is, they do.
Right.
They do it. So right. You can get people to make these steps.
Yeah, and part of my own research is how do we get people to donate more, right? And so one mechanism we looked at is basically, what if we make people feel more responsible, more personally responsible for their impact on the environment? And so one thing we do is we basically we recruited 600 subjects, and we basically found out information about their driving habits, their commuting habits, their electricity use. And for some of them, that's all we told them, and we found out how much are they willing to do for the environment, and the answer is not much, right? Then we told some of them, you know, this is your carbon footprint. This is how much you're personally responsible for hurting the environment. Now, what are you willing to do? And the answer is still not much. But the crucial thing is we basically then told another group, you know, this is how much damage you're doing to the environment, but this is how much you're doing compared to somebody else.
And you're worse than somebody else, and nobody wants to be worse than somebody else.
Exactly. And
it
shot up, right?
Basically, that's interesting.
People are willing to pay 30% more to sort of fight climate change.
It's also about making things easier. Mm-hmm. So you look at the Cash for Clunkers program, a huge success. The reason that's a success, even though it has many similarities to the weatherization program that nobody knows about, is that the paperwork was all handled by the dealerships. You basically show up.
With your old car. You drive
get
away
your
with
new,
a new one.
Yeah. So making things easier is also a huge barrier.
Now, David Biello from Scientific American, what about making things a little bit sexier? I mean, is there an element of this of making people want to do these things? You know, 5 years ago, the Hummer and the Escalade was the sexiest thing on the road. Now they're really out of style. And these smart cars, which look like golf balls, are cool all of a sudden. And whoever would have thought, now that's clever marketing from people who want to make money, but it shows that things that used to be geeky or not cool, you can make people want them.
Right. It's all about status. What's going to show the right status to your neighbors? This is what Ben was just talking about. Is it the Prius in your driveway or is it the Hummer in your driveway? And what you really want, or what we want for the climate, is a more energy efficient car.
All right, David Biello, associate online editor at Scientific American, and Ben Ho is a behavioralist and economist at Cornell, helping us make some sense of what it takes for us to make changes ourselves on the environment in our homes. Guys, thanks for joining us.
We could have George Clooney be the spokesman.
That would probably sell a lot of smart cars.
I think it's time we bring the story back to the listeners. What are the easy solutions you and your family do, and what's too much? What's too hard for you to do to help the environment? What decisions have you made possibly solely because of your impact on the environment? Let us know at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. If you've missed anything, we are always on here at The Takeaway. You can take our podcast to go. Subscribe at iTunes or at thetakeaway.org.
I'm Todd Zwillick in for John Hockenberry, who is a 5-time dad as of this weekend.
Ajax, little baby Ajax, almost 9 pounds.
Nearly 9 pounds, just under.
As a mom, that's the takeaway for me. I'm Celeste Headlee. John will be back with us tomorrow to tell us all about that new baby boy. This is The Takeaway.